This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your presence here. May your word lift our hearts in readiness and willingness to do and be your compassion in this hurting world. And we give you thanks for that privilege. Amen. Please be seated. So I have two tales to tell you, mainly about women. Kind of unusual sometimes in churches and in our texts. But today is all about women, and about pregnancy and about birth. And I have to say before I begin that when we set the date for the baptisms, we didn't know that this was the gospel for today. So it's such a God thing. I mean, I'm just saying. So the two tales, one teaches the other and teaches us as well. So here's the first tale. Way before there were any electronic communication or any forms of mechanical transportation, there were two women. They were cousins, Mary and Elizabeth. They didn't live close to each other, and they were both pregnant at the same time. They lived so far apart, and once Elizabeth found out she was pregnant, she was so overjoyed. She wished that she could share it with somebody, because she and her husband were quite elderly, and they had been waiting and waiting and waiting to get pregnant, she and Zechariah, and then finally, they conceived a child. So the setting for today's gospel is that she's 6 months pregnant, lives a distance away. Mary, who was quite young, probably 13 or 14, imagine, is visited by an angel and told that she would conceive a child. She's totally shocked and says, "How can this be?" And the angel told her she would not only conceive a child. Now, I want you guys to picture this, Annette and Jessica and Joya, Carrie and Lori. If an angel visited you and told you you were going to have a baby, and you hadn't been with a man, and you were a little bit shocked, to say the least. Well, Mary was like that and said, "How can this be?" And then she said, "Here am I. Yes, I'll do this." So she consented. She consented to carry this child. Little did she know that this child would change the world. Well, when she found out, not only did the angel tell her that she was conceiving a child, but that her cousin Elizabeth, who lived far away, was also pregnant and in her 6th month. And I think that the angel knew something about women, because as any woman would want to do, if she knows a relative of hers is pregnant, she's going to want to go there right away and share with that relative about the pregnancy, as only another woman could do. And so she went with haste, the text says, went with haste to her cousin's house to share with her cousin all about this pregnancy, what it's like to carry life within you, all the challenges, all the joys, and not only that, but what this angel told her. And how could that be? Well, she got a confirmation of that, because as soon as she walked in the door, and as soon as Elizabeth saw her coming in the door, the baby within Elizabeth leaped for joy. Recognized Jesus even before these two little boys would be born. For Elizabeth was carrying John the Baptist, the one that we've been hearing about for the last 3 weeks. And now it's like we've gone back in time to tell you that not only was he telling about Jesus as an adult, he recognized Jesus from an early, early time. And Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. And this part is always kind of rushed over too, but if you do the math, she's 6 months pregnant, so she stayed there till the baby was born, which makes sense. She was able to be with her for that experience, and then she returned home. Mary would then speak of this holy child being like no other, turning the world upside down, lifting up the lowly, the downtrodden, being with people that nobody else wanted to be with, sending the rich away empty, filling the hungry with good things. So that's the first tale. The second tale is about two sisters, Jessica and Annette, who live in modern times, who were able to tell one another about their pregnancies almost instantaneously. It's the world we live in now. They were able to share the joy of these pregnancies with their family, with our family, quite miraculously, really, when you think about it. In this day and time, we take so much for granted, so much for granted. And they'd always been close, but this was different. This was another understanding, a new depth of awareness. And their babies would leap in their wombs too, but not at recognition of the other, although maybe they did. We don't know that. But in reaction to their environment, Jessica said that Millie would jump if she tried to use her iPad and put the iPad on top of her belly, and that every time she tried to do that, Millie didn't like it. So she would leap in her womb. She would react to her environment. Annette said that one time they were at an ultrasound examination, and everywhere the probe was put, Sophia would kick. So she knew. And when she would be upset, and Annette and Doug could tell that she was upset, if they put on music, and fast music, go figure, it would calm her down. It would calm her down. Overall, amazement and joy occurred, just like amazement and joy occurred with Mary and Elizabeth. Except that Mary and Elizabeth instructs Jessica and Annette and Fritz and Doug and instructs all of us as well about being willing, to be God bearers too. Now, we are not God, but we are expressions of God. And it is our job to figure out what that expression is. If we're made in the image and likeness of God, what is our particular reflection supposed to do and to be in this world? And I say to do and to be intentionally. And if you don't know, just keep asking and being in the silence. For we all have that unique expression. Now, in a few minutes, the parents and godparents of Millie Marie and Sophia Alexis will come forward. And on behalf of these children, they will make their vows to uphold them in their life in Christ. And all of us will have an opportunity to join in. But what I would ask that we do is that we, all of us, individually, make a conscious choice how to participate in this sacrament of baptism. Because we will be using the order of service from the Book of Common Prayer. We don't normally use it in this service, I know. But we'll be using this ancient baptism rite. And so there are parts for the parents and the godparents to speak. And then there are parts for all of you to speak, to give your consent also to be a part of this world in which Sophia and Millie will grow. And whether or not you want to make that commitment to live the kind of life that will transform this world, whether it's going to be individually with them on a personal basis or in your own lives in prayer. And so you have some choices to make as we begin this sacrament. You can choose not to participate, and that's always an option, and just to listen and be aware, I would hope. So that's always an option. Or if you're going to say those words, to consciously say the words, to be present in that commitment in living your life. And you will be asked to reaffirm your own baptismal vows if you were baptized. You may not remember them if you were baptized as an infant, but your parents, just like Sophia and Millie's parents, take vows for them. But now you have a chance to reaffirm the vows that were given for you. So I ask you now if the parents and the godparents would come forward, and we'll have Jessica and Fritz and Millie on this side, and then Annette and Doug and Sophia over here with the godparents behind them. And if the parents want to come and stand behind, you're welcome as well. And all of you, if you could turn to page 301 in the red Book of Common Prayer. And do all of you have prayer books that you've got? Okay. Great. And Julia, there might be one part in this.